Good morning, everyone. It is great to be with you this morning. Choir and orchestra, thank you for leading us so well this morning. As Will mentioned, my name is Dan. I have the privilege of serving here on staff as our executive pastor, and it's an honor to get to speak today. We're going to begin our time today, as we always do, by praying the Lord's Prayer together as we gather with Christians all over the world today. So if you would, join with me as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong takes one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind onto the surface of the moon. That is assuming you believe that actually happened. And if you don't, our kids minister, Sammy Kate, would love to have a deep conspiracy theory conversation with you, so you can talk to her about that. But for the rest of us who believe that that took place, there's a few names involved in that story that we know. We know Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, maybe Michael Collins. But the reality is this: there were over 400,000 people that were involved in that program to make it happen. Engineers, mathematicians, computer programmers, mission control specialists, seamstresses, nurses, doctors, cafeteria workers, the list goes on and on. People whose names history have largely forgotten, or maybe never even knew. They never stood on the moon, but their fingerprints are all over everything that took place to achieve that historic thing. And over the last couple thousand years in the history of the church and Christianity, the same thing is true. Countless faithful believers whose names we'll never know on this side of eternity, but they made much of Jesus and carried on his mission. And we see an example of that in Mark chapter 2, which is going to be our scripture passage today. Mark 2, verses 1 through 12. If you want to turn there, it'll be on the screen behind me as well. This is talking about Jesus. It says, "And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And as he was preaching the word to them, they came and carried to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they had questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home.' And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" Here's the kind of the context of what's taking place in this story. Jesus' ministry has been growing. His popularity is growing. He's been preaching. He's been healing. He's been casting out demons. He's been cleansing lepers, and word is spreading, and people are desiring to come and be in his presence and hear his teaching. And so he returns back to Capernaum, and he's gathered in this home, and the crowd is growing, and they've filled up the house, and they're spilling out the door. And so you've got this paralytic man who is unable to get to Jesus on his own. And life for someone with a disability like that would have been exceptionally difficult in biblical times. There weren't wheelchairs or ramps or government programs or ADA to help, and they were often treated as outcasts, and they would have to beg for food and for money. And humanly speaking, there was no way for this man to get to Jesus unless someone was willing to carry his mat. Last week, Pastor Jim did an incredible job of kind of setting the stage, talking about the calling of the disciples to follow Jesus. And so we're going to take a next step today and talk about what does it look like after we're following him, then our role in helping others to do the same. And I want to look at this aspect of carrying the mat and how this example of loving someone applies to us and how we can do the same thing with our lives. And the big idea of today's message is this: God uses his people to bring others to himself. God uses his people to bring others to himself. And the first point is this: as we look back, we thank God for those who carried our mat. Thank God for those who carried the mat in your life. We see in this story this group of guys who carried this paralyzed man to Jesus. And the same thing is true for each of our lives. None of us got to Jesus on our own. There were many people who had a hand in our story of us meeting Jesus. Parents, grandparents, Sunday school teachers, coaches, pastors, friends. There were a lot of people that played a part in our story. So I got a picture I want you to see. This is my kids a few years ago when they were much smaller, playing the piano. Kelly took this picture. And if you'll notice on the wall in front of them, there's several pictures. And those are multiple generations of our family kind of over the years. And one of the pictures, the next slide you'll see, is a picture of my great-great-grandmother, I don't even know what year, many years ago, sitting on a porch reading her Bible. And this picture is up on the wall in that first picture in front of my kids. And it's a picture that I'm grateful for. It reminds me that I come from a legacy of faith, of a family far from perfect, but has loved Jesus for many years and has been teaching the next generation to do the same. And so now, six generations later, my kids are sitting there playing a piano in front of a picture, reminded that there have been many people in my own life that helped carry the mat to get me to Jesus, and the same thing is true for them. And I pray that long after I'm gone, there will be a continued legacy of people who love Jesus and follow him, and that the next generation would continue to know about the good news of the gospel. If you come from a family of faith, thank God for that legacy. Not everyone has that gift, and you're truly blessed by that. And what a gift to honor that legacy by passing on the truth of the gospel to the next generation. Maybe some of you are a first-generation believer, and praise God for that. You may be the first branch of the gospel being growing in your family, but you certainly don't have to be the last. By God's grace, you can start a legacy that will echo for eternity. And it might not have been a family member that carried you to Jesus, but there were people involved in your life that helped take you to Jesus. And as we gather here today on Father's Day, just to the men, dads, one of the greatest gifts that we can ever leave our children is the investment in their eternity. It's not our money, it's not our possessions, it's our faith as we invest those things in their lives. Because worldly possessions will fade and go away, but the things of the Lord will last forever. And we have an incredible privilege and responsibility to help carry the mat for our kids and take them to Jesus. May we as men strive to live in a way that our children see and experience the love of the Heavenly Father modeled in and through us. As you think about your life, you could probably name multiple people that were involved in your story of you coming to Jesus. Also, as we look around, we thank God for those who carry the mat with us. So we look back at what has taken place in our life, and then we look around, next point, and we thank God for those who carry the mat with us. If you think about the journey that these men were on as they carried this man to Jesus, it would have been hot, it would have been crowded, it would have no doubt been difficult, and I'm sure that at some points in the process, they questioned if it was worth it. They get to the house, there's no room, it's crowded, they can't get in. And there was a lot of opportunity for excuses to creep in at this moment of, this isn't going to work out, maybe we should try again another time. The list could go on and on. But they were in it together, and they worked together to make it happen. And I think about our own lives and how often we have an opportunity to do the things God is calling us to do, and excuses slip in. I'm too busy for it. Or what if I say the wrong thing? Or what if I say something and I offend someone, or I step on their toes, or I make them upset? But the truth is that loving people well means that we don't make excuses, and instead we bring them to Jesus. And ministry is a team effort. If one person had been trying to carry that man by himself, it would have been next to impossible to get him up the stairs and onto the roof and cut the hole. But you had these four men working together to get this man to Jesus. And the same thing is true for us. The body of Christ is made up of many parts. And the ministries of our church are not just better, but they're possible only because all of us are involved and we're working together. And each and every one of us have a role and a part to play. And maybe this morning, some of you have been kind of sitting on the sideline, like dabbling your feet in the pool, and it's time to jump in. Here's your invitation. There are so many opportunities right here in our own church that you can jump in and serve. We need to work together to take people to Jesus. And the truth of sharing the gospel with people is it's usually not a one-time conversation. Very few people come to saving faith in Jesus after one conversation. Someone plants, someone waters, someone invites, someone teaches, someone prays, and God gives the increase. Many people carry the corner of a mat to take someone to Jesus. I know in my life there have been times where I've had the privilege of having that final conversation with someone and walking them through what it truly means to walk in relationship with Jesus, and they step from death to life in that conversation, and it's an incredible thing. But far more oftentimes in my life, I've been involved in the process of someone's journey. And there have been conversations and things that have taken place of playing a part in someone's story. An example of this is several years ago, this was, Kelly and I were living in Opelika at the time. This was before we had kids. And a Saturday night, we had gone to a Braves game in Atlanta, and we were coming home after the game, and we're driving on I-85 from Atlanta back to Opelika. And I was driving my, at the time, Explorer. It felt like that because that vehicle gave me nothing but trouble. And we're driving back, and all of a sudden, my temperature gauge goes all the way to hot. Smoke starts coming out, and that's never a good thing. You know, like, it's just not good. So we pull off an exit. We're in Noonan, Georgia. And just, this is free, but if you ever need a mechanic at 11 p.m. in Noonan, Georgia, they're not there. Okay, so there's nothing. And so we're stuck. It's a Saturday night. I'm teaching the next morning at church. I've got to get back. So we do the only thing we can. We call a tow truck, and we had a tow truck come and get us and take us back to Opelika. And so, you know, the hour and a half drive, whatever it was, me, Kelly, and the tow truck driver, three wide in the front seat of this tow truck, and I made her sit in the middle, of course, which she loved. So we're driving back, and the tow truck driver starts talking about some things he was dealing with in his life, some struggles he was having, some difficult times, some hard things, and it was just a very clear opportunity that we had to share the gospel with him, and he wasn't going anywhere. We had a captive audience, you know, and so we had this hour drive to talk about what Jesus had done in our life, how he had saved us, and we had this, you know, this conversation, and we get back, he unloads the vehicle in my driveway, and we're good, and, you know, that was 13, 14 years ago. I don't know what happened to that man. I know, though, there were some seeds planted that night. There was a gospel conversation that took place, and that night we had an opportunity to carry a corner of his mat. Romans 10 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." And I pray that we would be a church and a people that have beautiful feet that are taking the good news of the gospel to our neighbors and the nations. And in doing so, we use our words and our deeds. It's not one or the other, it's both and. Romans 1:5 says that we have the privilege and authority to tell others of what God has done so that they may believe. And then Matthew 5:16 says that we should let our light shine before men that they would see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. We tell people about Jesus and we show them his love through our actions. Which leads us to our third point, that we look up. We ask God whose mat he wants us to carry. It can be really easy to be focused on ourselves and the immediate things that we have going on in our lives. All of us are busy. There's distractions all around us. But if we lift our eyes and we look up, there is a mission field everywhere around us. And we see the example in this story of these four men. They cared enough to do something. They didn't leave this man where they found him, but they saw a need and they loved him enough to do something about it. And oftentimes people are willing to listen to the good news about Jesus and hear about the love of Jesus after they have experienced the love of Jesus lived out for them. And Jesus frequently modeled this for us in Scripture. He would meet a physical need in someone's life as well as address the spiritual need that was going on in their life. Someone would be sick or hurting, and he would heal, and then he would explain his love for them. We see an example of this in Mark chapter 5. There's a woman who has the issue of blood, and she's been bleeding for 12 years, and she's been to all the doctors and spent all her money, and there's been no healing, and she's been suffering for all of these years. And she hears about this man that maybe could heal her. And so she's like, if I can just get close enough just to touch his garment. And so she has this faith where she's in the crowd and she reaches out and she touches the robe of Jesus. And it says immediately there was physical healing and the bleeding stopped. And so in this great crowd of people, Jesus is like, hey, somebody touched me. And the disciples are like, yeah, there's tons of people. Like a lot of people have touched you. He's like, no, my power has gone out. And so the lady's like, it's me. And Jesus, with compassion, turns and loves her and blesses her and sends her out. He met the physical need so that he could also address her spiritual need and heal her. I can think of no greater modern example of this than right here in our own church with our handyman ministry. I've got some pictures that are going to be, you'll see behind me. We have a group of men in our church that build wheelchair ramps all over our community. And Billy Hatmaker and Jose Stevens lead this team and lead this ministry. And I've heard them say multiple times, it's not about the ramp. And that's such a good thing. They get it because it's not about the ramp. But you've got this group of people that show up from our church and they show up at someone's house who is struggling, who physically can't get in and out of their home. And this group of men show up and they meet this crucial physical need. They share Jesus with them through the ramp. They tell them about what Jesus has done, his love for them, and they pray with the family. Meeting this physical need opens up the door to spiritual conversations. It's not about the ramp, but it is about loving people well and pointing them to Jesus, and it's a tangible way to carry someone's mat. And by the way, Billy and Jose would love your help. So if you are interested, anyone, you can be a part of this in this incredible ministry. But the reality is for all of us, there are mats all around us that we can take hold of and help carry people to Jesus. Wherever you find yourself, whatever hats you're wearing, whatever your life situation is, parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, friends, coworkers, church members, neighbors, you have people in your life that need to be carried to Jesus. And God has placed you exactly where you are today to make much of him and to share the love of Christ with them. Our time and our treasures are really good markers and gauges in our life to know where our priorities are. How are we utilizing your time? If you did an audit of a week of your life, what percentage of your time is being used to invest in kingdom efforts? How are you leveraging your life for the sake of the gospel? And if you look at your financial resources, the money and the things that God has entrusted to you, how are you using what you have to make much of the gospel? Because the truth is, none of it is ours. We've been entrusted to be stewards of the things that the Lord has. And so he gives these things to us to use them for his glory. One of the best ways that I can think of that you can use your time to help carry a mat every single week is right here at our church and our kids and our student ministries. There is a mission field ripe for harvest right here inside the walls of our church. And some of you are thinking right now as I say that, of all the reasons, probably not for you. But here's the truth. Could serving in one of those ministries be challenging? Yeah, it could be. Could it change the time that you attend service on a Sunday morning? Yeah, it might. Would it maybe affect the time you spend with friends? And it could. Would it be difficult? It could. But here's the thing. It would be worth it. Absolutely worth it to serve in our kids. We are unashamedly committed to reaching the next generation with the gospel here at Calvary. And a passage of scripture I love that I think captures this really well of why we do what we do with this is Psalm 78, verses 4-7. It says this, it says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave instruction to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so that the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they, in turn, will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. God has called us to raise up a generation that will take the gospel to the nations. And that starts today in our preschool ministry. And so each of us can be a part of taking the truth of the gospel to our kids here in our church. And one day when you're at the end of your life and you look back at your life, the things that you won't regret spending your time and investing in are loving people, serving people, investing in the next generation, giving generously, and participating in kingdom work. Each of these are tangible ways that we can carry the corner of someone's mat and take them to Jesus. It's interesting that some 2,000 years later, that we're still talking about these four men who, they didn't know their story was going to be written down in Scripture. They couldn't heal this man. They couldn't forgive him. They couldn't save him. But they believed that Jesus could do it, and they refused to give up. And because they did, this man's life was forever changed. History celebrates people who stand in the spotlight, but heaven celebrates people who carry the mat. As we conclude today, I pray that we would be grateful for the people in our life that helped carry us to Jesus. All of us have those people that have made an impact in our life and took us to Jesus. And that we would look around and find our brothers and sisters that we can lock arm in arm with and help carry other people to Jesus, because there are so many opportunities around us and it's worth it. You and I don't have the power to save anyone, but we know who does, and that's Jesus. And so our calling is to be faithful, to point others to him, and to help carry people's mat to him. And it might not be a physical mat that we're carrying, but our words, our actions, and our time can make an impact for eternity. One day, we'll be in heaven with multitudes of people who were never famous in this life, but heaven is a bit more crowded because of their efforts. The time, the energy, the effort, and even the difficulty and the challenges of taking others to Jesus is always worth it. May it be said of our lives that we were faithful to love Jesus and that we did our part to help carry others to him whenever we could. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. God, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross so that we can have life and that we can be restored into a relationship with you. God, we thank you for the people who carried the mat in our lives, who shared the gospel with us. And God, may we be people who carry the mat for others. I pray that we would lift our eyes and that we would see the great mission field that is all around us. Lord, thank you for letting us be a part of your story, to play a part in reaching others for the glory of your name. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. As we sing, our pastors will be down front. If you want somebody to pray with you, anything that you want to talk through, we'd love to do that.